We are live.
Good afternoon. Today is August 4th, 2022. This is the matter of an appeal of an approval of file Z0064-22-R. It's a Principal River Conservation Area Review approval. My name is Carl Cox. I'm a private attorney appointed by the Clackamas County Board of Commissioners as hearings officer with authority to conduct this hearing and make a determination in this matter. This is a quasi-judicial land use hearing, which means two important things for those participating in this hearing. First, all of the criteria that can be used in reaching a decision have been identified in the staff report. Testimony, arguments, and evidence must be directed towards the criteria identified in the staff report or other relevant criteria found in the comprehensive plan or other land use regulation that the person believes applies to the decision. Accordingly, please direct your testimony to a relevant approval criterion. Second, failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to afford the decision maker and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue may preclude appeal to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals on that issue. Failure of the applicant to raise constitutional or other issues relating to proposed conditions of approval with sufficient specificity to allow the local government or its designee to respond to the issue precludes an action for damages in circuit court. Once final, this decision may be appealed to the Oregon Land Use Board of Appeals. I'll state for the record that I've not received any ex parte contact in this matter, meaning no one contacted me outside of these proceedings to try to persuade me concerning a fact or an issue present in this matter. I have considered issues of bias and conflict of interest and determined that I do not have any bias or conflict of interest in this matter. I'll state for the record that the county is making a record of the hearing. That record is available through the county. Prior to the end of the close of the record, close of this hearing anyway, I will ask if any party or member of the audience wants an opportunity to provide additional evidence, arguments, or testimony and submit those to the record. If there is such a request, then we will discuss a timeline for that. At this time, I'll ask that the county provide an explanation concerning participation via the Zoom platform.
Thank you, Carl. This public hearing will be conducted virtually using the Zoom platform. Panelists for today's hearing, which include the hearings officer, county staff, and the applicant, have both audio and video capability. Audience members who have joined the meeting will have their mics muted unless they wish to testify, in which case they will be called upon to do so by the county staff moderator. Audience members' video will not be turned on at any time. Today's hearing is being recorded as required by law. The county will make every effort to post the recording on the county website later today. There is a designated time during the hearing when it will be open for testimony. The hearings officer will make it clear when this is. If you want to provide testimony, you will utilize the raised hand feature. Attendees on PC and iPad, you have a raise hand button on the Zoom bar, top or bottom, depending on device. When the moderator switches you over to provide testimony, your screen will look different for a little while. Primarily, you will see all participants' cameras, not just the one who is speaking. Staff will call upon you when it is time for you to provide testimony. Be sure to provide your name and mailing address when you begin. Once you have provided your testimony, your mic will be muted and your screen will be returned to normal. If the record is left open at the end of this hearing and you wish to submit additional written testimony, email written testimony to mahrens@clackamas.us or mail it to Clackamas County Planning and Zoning Division, 150 Beaver Creek Road, Oregon City, Oregon 97045. The staff contact email address is also available on the webpage where you found the Zoom link for today's hearing. Testimony must be received by 4 p.m. on the day the record closes. People who testify and provide their mailing address will receive a copy of the hearings officer's written decision. If you do not wish to testify but would like to receive the decision, you must provide your email or standard mailing address by email to the staff contact for the application or by entering it in the Zoom chat function during the hearing. That concludes the instructions for Zoom on today's hearing.
Thank you very much. Let's discuss the order of proceedings. Does the county have a staff presentation to make?
Yes, we have a PowerPoint prepared.
Okay, perfect. What I'm going to ask is that the county begin the hearing, this appeal hearing, by presenting the staff report, the PowerPoint presentation, et cetera. Then I'd like to provide the appellants an opportunity to discuss their appeal, the reasons for their appeal, introduce evidence, including testimony that the appellants want me to consider in this matter. Then I'll provide the applicant an opportunity to, if the applicant chooses, to rebut any of the appellant's testimony or evidence, and the county as well. And then I will consider whether to provide an opportunity for further rebuttal. At that point, I will open the hearing to members of the general public. Do we have anyone from the general public today? I'll ask when the time comes.
We do, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. So Ms. Ahrens, please proceed.
Thank you, Carl. All right, bear with me while I share screen here.
Will your PowerPoint be added as an exhibit?
Yes, it should already be uploaded. It was added to the exhibit list this morning. Okay. If not, if it's not uploaded yet, it will be by the end of the day.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, can everyone see that?
Yes.
Okay, great. So today we're considering an appeal of a county decision to approve it says floodplain development permit there. We just did that earlier today. It's a Principal River Conservation Area permit, and it is Z0064-22-R. Mm-hmm. It is construction of a new two-story single-family residence. The proposed house will be set back approximately 128 feet from the edge of the river and be 33 feet high. So the staff decision on this was issued June 22nd, 2022. The decision was appealed by Dennis Tilka and, excuse me if I'm saying this wrong, Janelle McAvoy, July 5th, 2022. The application was submitted 2-8-22, and staff deemed it incomplete for a number of reasons, one of which was obtaining a restoration plan for the site from the applicant. The 150th day on this is August 27th, 2022. This is the subject property in Welch's. It's an interesting property in the tax lot crosses the right-of-way of Manapay Drive there. And I have on the next slide the tax map shown so you can kind of see how that works. So we're looking at tax lot 1900. And it's made up of a couple platted slots there, which you find quite frequently up on the mount. This is a diagram showing the floodplain overlay on top of the proposed site plan. So this is relevant in one of the appeal criteria brought up. And we thought we'd kind of start there just while we're talking about the site plan, show you the floodplain overlay also. In the application materials and in communications with the applicant and the applicant's representative, it's been consistently communicated that there's not any landform alteration or development within the right-of-way that would rise to the level of needing a floodplain development permit. Dennis Tilka had submitted comments and email and had communicated with our engineering staff concerns that this right-of-way was not improved where it could function as an accessible road. County staff went out and did a site visit. We agreed with that assessment. It looks like it's forested, undulating topography, not necessarily accessible. We sent an email to the applicant requesting more information about the improvements necessary in the right-of-way. However, that is a separate issue. So that the determination about whether or not this application needs a floodplain development permit is being worked out outside of this appeal hearing today. So you can see there, the blue is the floodplain. None of the development that was proposed and approved by the county is in this decision is in the floodplain that would require a floodplain permit. That's what's described in the application materials.
Okay, I think I understand. What you're saying is that there may be something else affecting this proposed development that may require a floodplain development permit in this blue area. And I can, and I read the materials, mm-hmm. and it looks like there's a line that is proposed to extend to septic drain fields over on this other parcel. Well, it's going to be part of the same parcel, I suppose. And there is not an improved road in that section. So how is this going to get from point A to point B?
Correct.
Access mm-hmm. to the site is along this other portion or across this driveway? Because that driveway doesn't look like it gets to the property. Or is that also part of the problem?
So it's our understanding that the site currently has access from Manape Drive on the west. They are proposing to connect, I guess, two sections of Manape from the west to the southeast that you can't currently get through and that are in the floodplain, that blue section there where I guess it dips down is kind of the characterization that we've received in comments. And I'm sure Dennis will kind of give much more background about that. So we are still figuring out whether or not the road improvements will require a floodplain development permit. We don't know that yet. But in terms of the house itself and the entrance permit driveway you see on the site there, that's providing access to the main house, that is not in the floodplain.
Okay, I see that. Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. So the applicable criteria, so our legal standard of review here, we're looking at the recreational residential zoning district. Single family homes are an outright allowed use. So the home site development would be allowed per the zoning district. As part of the PERCA review, this subject application, we look to section 704 of our zoning and development ordinance, the river and stream conservation area. And that's what staff's legal consistency findings were based on in our approval decision.
Okay.
I won't take the time to kind of dig into everything we found the application consistent with, but I'll kind of pick and choose what we talk about based on the appeal reasons that were brought up. And then I'm happy to kind of go back and go in more detail if there's questions. So this is the list of what Dennis had and the other appellant had raised in the appeal form. I think really the biggest concern, it seems like at this point with this one, is the reduction of the 150-foot PERCA buffer. Our zoning and development ordinance, section 704.04, this is an excerpt, so a screenshot of it. It says the minimum setback may be increased to 150 feet from the mean high water line to lessen the impact of development, and it includes the following considerations. Historically, staff has always required an 150-foot setback from a principal river for new development like this for a single-family home. County management and county council have recently, so this year, given planning staff direction that in the case of needed housing, staff are required to apply ORS 197.3074, which requires the local government to only apply clear and objective standards to needed housing. So we are only looking at an 100-foot buffer. You'll see there, it's very clear in A, structures shall be located a minimum of 100 feet from the mean high water line of a principal river. The 150-foot buffer, the way that it's worded in the code is subjective. It requires us to consider 1 through 7 there. So it's county council's interpretation that we are not able to apply the 150-foot buffer. Happy to talk about that more, but that is what we based the buffer reduction on, and there's some findings to that in our decision. There were questions about preservation of the vegetation buffer. Like I mentioned earlier, staff required the applicant to submit basically a restoration plan for any vegetation disturbance within the buffer. There's no tree removal occurring within 100 feet. So this is just kind of our standard per the code, what Section 704 requires. The revegetation restoration, it's implemented through a condition of approval, condition of approval number 4. So that's intended to ensure consistency with that section of the code. And happy to go into that in more detail. That's just kind of our response to that issue being raised in the appeal.
Okay.
Floodplain concerns, we already talked about this a little bit. Staff sent an email to the applicant on 7/13/22 requesting more information about the proposed or the improvements that would be necessary to get that section of Manapay to function as an accessway, to be accessible. Staff were not aware of the topographical differences there through that section or the level of improvements it seems like that roadway would need. County engineering staff is also involved with that because they would have to be signing off on the accessway and how that interacts with the entrance permit for the main driveway for the home. So we are working separately with the applicant on that. We have not yet received a response from the applicant. We asked for some type of, you know, information, how much grading would be needed, cross sections of the road, so we understand what's being brought in, how the road would be constructed, so we can make a determination if a floodplain development permit is required or not. We don't have that information yet. So that's kind of a separate, that would be on a separate track. It would be a separate floodplain development permit that would be required. And it's not a criteria of approval for the PRCA, so for the Principal River Conservation Area application that's on appeal today that the county approved. Yeah. And like I mentioned, so county engineering development permanent entrance permit would still be required, and then building permits would still be required. So just wanted to make it clear that through approval of this PRCA application, land use application, we would not necessarily be saying there's no floodplain development permit required or other permits required. That would just be through a separate process. And that concludes staff's presentation. I did just want to mention that we, right as this meeting was starting, we received a comment letter from 1,000 Friends that will be added to the record. I have just briefly skimmed it, but it seems to primarily take issue with the 150-foot buffer reduction and a clear and objective standard for needed housing being applied here.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to provide an opportunity for the appellants to submit information, testimony in support of their appeal and reasons why this application should be denied. Please unmute your mic.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm a little confused here. I thought Darcy was going to be the hearings officer, and being that we have this kind of like adversarial relationship from this last hearing on the road obstruction,
I don't think I have an adversarial relationship with you, sir. I conducted a hearing.
Yes, but. Okay, if you don't think
actually, I conducted two hearings.
Yes.
One I found in your favor, the other one I did not.
Okay.
But it's not me.
Can I ask how this happened when originally Darcy was supposed to hear? I mean, Darcy, Ms. Reinhardt?
She's not a hearings officer, sir. I'm the hearings officer appointed by the Clackamas County.
Oh, I thought she was. I'm sorry. You're the hearings officer. Okay. I didn't understand that. I thought she was.
Oh,
who is Ms. Darcy? I mean, what do you do? I mean, you were just assistant or whatever? Ms. Reinhardt?
I'm the administrative staff for the Planning and Zoning Division. And for the sake of this hearing, I am the moderator.
Okay. I didn't understand that. I'm sorry. Okay. I think this permit should not be approved because the application site plan in subsection B is incomplete because the site plan does not illustrate all the requirements listed below that would preclude the county from applying 704. And I'll start at the location of utilities, wells, on-site wastewater treatment centers. All of the existing proposed, the application didn't include a site plan that displays the road improvements to Manape to access the home site. There was some new improvements, like they were saying that they came in from the way I said before, where they, I guess you would say from the west side. So it's completely away from my house. But it didn't have it in the site plan. And the plan showed they were going to access the property from that horseshoe driveway that I claimed was unlawful. And I attached an exhibit to prove that. Okay. There's a 12-foot cliff on the backside of Lot 8, about 60 feet from the property line with Manape. It's not shown. That cliff is not shown. And my question was, does the applicant propose building a retaining wall to support the cliff? And this cliff should prohibit a retaining wall as is within the setback and the native vegetation buffer area and is within the floodplain.
Let's talk a little bit about that because I want to make sure that I understand, and I separate your arguments. So we're talking about the portion of Manape between Bridge Street and the property under development, correct, or proposed development. I'll give you an opportunity, Mr. Montgomery, after the appellants have had an opportunity. Is that what you're talking about?
No. I was talking about the property between where Janelle's house is. It's a log cabin about 150 feet behind my house. They're coming in from that way. And then they made that opening so they could access the home site from that way. I'm not sure if I explained that right.
I think that might be backwards. So Manape comes into Bridge Street just by the bridge, correct?
Well, there's two parts of Manape.
Right.
One part is by driveway and then the other part, they go further down Bridge Street, the Wana Lane, and then they make another right back towards my house on Manape.
Manape comes in twice. It is a connector road between Bridge Street and Bridge Street. Yeah, via the other street.
By Wana Lane, yes.
Right. So Manape comes into Bridge Street. That is the right of way that is not finished.
Yes.
Correct. And you're talking about a portion of that is a cliff?
No, I'm talking about Lot 8.
Okay.
See, there was two things. I'm sorry.
I have to interrupt here for a minute. We have no site plan from this gentleman's diagram or description of what he's talking about. So if we could please put up a site plan and have him point out exactly what it is, because yes, you have two entry points of access.
Right.
But I'm not following along with what he's talking about without a site plan that we have provided all the way, all along. And respectively, we've done everything that the county's asked.
We could put up that site plan.
We put up your PowerPoint that shows the site plan.
Okay. Sure. I only have the one with the floodplain overlay also on top of the site plan. Is that okay? Okay.
Yeah.
One moment.
It is confusing. That's why I wanted some clarity too. And you're right, Mr. Montgomery. It isn't very clear. Okay, that's fine.
Okay. Wait.
Oh.
What happened?
Sorry, it doesn't like it when I do it quickly. Hang on one moment.
We
go.
The other map shows the lot number. I don't know if that would be more clear to be able to give the lot numbers when describing it.
Yeah, here. Is that better?
Yes.
That's great.
Okay.
Okay, I'm on lot 3 over here at this 68865 Eastman 8. Sure.
And okay. We're actually talking about lot 8.
Right here.
1900. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah,
1900. Okay. And that is where the application for this permit, and that is the subject of this appeal. Okay. So you are talking about something that I'm concerned just is completely addressing just the potential for a floodplain development permit. Because you're talking about that that sort of inclusion of the lower area and that comes along, I guess, 6 and 7 here.
Can you see my mouse as I move it?
Nope.
No, okay. Is originally they were going to do that, access that property through the horseshoe permit. I mean, the horseshoe driveway that was on their application. Right, and they changed it, and they're going to access it through Manape from the west side, and I would be lot 1902. Can you see 1902?
That's not what I understood. I understood that there is an access that starts on here I think it's designated as 3. And that driveway runs through 3, 4, 5, then connects up to what would be Manape Drive. But this is the issue that has been raised by Ms. Ahrens, that is not actually a completed portion of roadway. So how that access is going to go across that open area, which I don't know anything about, which then will hit lot 8. I saw a graveled pad area along Manape Drive in front of 8 and 9 is what it looked like, but at least 8 that finished the west portion of Manape, and it looked like there would be access there as well.
Yes, that's true. That's what I was talking about. They didn't show that in their original application site plan. They were just showing the horseshoe-shaped driveway.
Okay.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
Then on lot 8, oops. Hey, Bryce, I lost my PowerPoint.
Did you submit your PowerPoint as an exhibit?
No, is...
You're not using a PowerPoint. You're using the error picture. What do you need?
My Word document.
She has to close that picture.
Can you... It's lot 8 I'm talking about. Okay, but will you close this picture? I can't get my...
Did you want me to stop sharing?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Then on lot 8, there is a 12-foot cliff that's about 60 feet from the front property line with Manape going towards the river. And what I was concerned about is the applicant proposing to build a retaining wall to support that cliff. And I said that this permit should be prohibited if a retaining wall is going to be used, as it would be within the vegetation setback and be within the floodplain. Okay. And we covered. Then I go on to setbacks of all structures from lot lines, easements, and principal river. The applicant states the structure is setback 128 feet from the river, but does not show the setback from the front or rear property lines or the distance between the rear property line and the Salmon River. Therefore, it is impossible to apply 70407 vegetation buffer preservation requirement that requires a minimum of 75% of the setback area shall be preserved with native vegetation. Comprehensive Plan Policy 3B12 states, maintain a vegetation fringe area along the rivers free of structures, grading, tree cutting activities.
Mm-hmm.
And it says C policy 3A3. And it says require the vegetation of buffer strips of natural vegetation along river stream banks as shown on the adopted water protection rules classification maps. I asked what that was, and they said basically it was the principal river conservation maps.
Yes.
To Melissa. Okay. The depth of the buffer or filter strip will be dependent on the proposed use or development, width of the river, steepness of the terrain, and types of soil, existing vegetation, other contributing factors, but will not exceed 150 feet.
Right.
Okay. Without knowing the exact set, I'm sorry.
Right. And so what that means is that it would never be allowed to require a setback for development in under that regulation of more than 150 feet. Now, the minimum that was required here was 100 feet. There are procedures for requesting and perhaps obtaining a reduced amount, but the general idea here is that 100 foot minimum, and they can require no more than 150 feet maximum. Now, for the last year or so, the county council has said we don't have a clear and objective standard meeting the ORS requirement for making a determination that a setback should be required that is between 100 and 150 feet. So the county says we will do the minimum that we are required under the code, which is clear and objective, 100 feet. The rest involves a weighing, a balancing of these factors without it, that is subjective.
Okay.
That's what that's about. So okay. The county says we don't have a clear and objective standard to impose a additional setback between that 100 and 150 feet. But we do have a clear and objective standard for what our minimum requirement is, which is 100.
Okay. Then without knowing the exact setback from the structure from the front and rear property line, how can the county or any person determine where the vegetation buffer area begins and ends? And how would someone preserve the vegetation buffer without knowing the boundaries? So you're saying that automatically it's 100 feet and he has to preserve the vegetation buffer?
That's a generalization, but that's what we're talking about here. Okay. Mr. Montgomery, what was your comment? You're muted.
Yeah, I know. There is a site plan that we turned in when we pulled our, driveway entrance permit. And it shows that our house is going to be 20 feet back from the front property line, 10 feet on both sides property line, and I do meet the 128 on the rear.
Yep, 128 is what I read.
There should be a site plan.
Was it 128 or I thought it was 127, but that could I read a bunch of stuff.
It's 128 is what we have written down. I can double check that.
Yeah, 128.
I never like to rely on my memory because I want to see it. All right, Mr. Tilka, this is your turn. Let's get back to your point.
On your site plan, does it show the property line between the river and your property line?
At 128. That's what
his structure is going to be, is 128 feet. I'm talking about from his property line, his rear property line to the river.
Oh, go over again why I need to
know that
you're driving at here.
Because we want to know how big the vegetation buffer area needs to be.
The vegetation buffer calculated at 75% of the area between its property line and the and what?
And it's the distance between the river. Yeah, within that. Okay, there's 100 feet setback, but there's a piece of property between the river and lot 8. So part of that setback, part of the vegetation buffer is going to be on lot 8. And we need to know, you're shaking your head. I mean, that's why I need to know how far is your lot line from the river? Is it within, is it 100 feet? Is that what you're saying?
He's saying, Mr. Montgomery, what?
I don't know why this is an issue. I'm meeting the condition. I mean, is this part of the land use issue? Is that what we're asking?
Yes. It's part of the vegetation buffer area.
Well, we counted out at almost 90 feet from the edge of the property line to the back of the river.
So I didn't see that on your application. You're saying it's 90 feet?
This site plan right here was presented to the city or to the county for the land use approval, and it should be on record. Melissa, is it not in the criteria?
That's included in the submitted application materials, right. The site plan, and right. We double-checked the setback requirements right. As part of our decision.
Okay.
So it shows the property line is 90 feet from the river?
So the property depth on the tax map is 100 feet, right?
Okay.
But the top of the bank of the river is, that's a different line shown on the plan, right, than the edge of the tax lot. So you can see all of that laid out on the site plan. And I can see if I can find where it is in the application here.
Yeah, I mean, we can go to that later on, but that's what I was interested in. But, okay.
Yeah.
Existing vegetation and location proposed tree cutting and grading activity. The applicant in inventory some native vegetation that may have existed on part of the lot when the proposed home site is, but it was done after the lot was cleared and graded in May of 2021. The site plan does not include any native vegetation between the structure and the river. Since the applicant destroyed the native vegetation, the county should require a professional botanist to do an on-site visit and inventory the native vegetation on the adjacent lots and the native vegetation between the proposed structure and the Salmon River. Without a detailed inventory of the native vegetation, how can the county or anyone else determine the extent and diversity of the native vegetation within the vegetation buffer area that has to be preserved? Without a detailed inventory of the native vegetation, someone could cut down the vast majority of the native vegetation, and who would know the difference? Before the clearing and grading of the vegetation on Lot 8, the native vegetation on Lot 8 was the same as the adjacent lots, as no development took place in this area because it was within the FEMA's floodplain and was densely forested with very large cedar trees and heavy understory that include red huckleberry, snowberry bushes, Oregon grapes, sword ferns, false gingers, lilies of the valley, calypso orchids, trilliums, avalanche lilies, and wood sorrel. Okay, elevation contours. The applicant did not include site plan that required the map with elevation contour lines of the area between the river and the proposal for the development that would have revealed the approximate 12-foot cliff that drops into the flood channel of the Salmon River.
Okay, we're talking about that same area that includes the right-of-way, correct?
Nope.
And through the lot nope. Next to it.
We're going back towards the river now on Lot 8.
Lot 8. Can we see that site plan again? I'm sorry, but
one moment.
Okay, so I'm looking at Lot 8. And I thought the occlusion that came from the river towards the Manape Drive and extended into it came across lots 6 and 7.
That's one inclusion. 7.
Correct?
That's one inclusion. There's another one that comes at Lot 4, and it runs between Manape, those lots on Manape, and the river. That it's a flood channel that is about 60 foot wide by 2,500 foot long.
Okay.
And Lot 8 drops down into that flood channel about 60 feet from the front of Manape. So if you go back 60 feet on lot 8 going towards the river, there's a 12-foot cliff, and it drops down into that flood channel. Okay. You're going to have to remove your map again. I can't see my...
Well, you can drop the... It's a different window for you.
Oh, okay. It shows up. I didn't understand.
Click on your other one.
Okay. So this cliff and the flood channel are important natural features, as this would reduce the usable 50 by 100 foot lot by 30 to 40 feet. Considering the front setback and the cliff and the flood channel on the backside, this lot may not be large enough for the size of a proposed structure without building on stilts in the flood channel and within the setback area and within the native vegetation buffer area. The county should prohibit any development within this flood channel and require the preservation of native vegetation. Okay. The application didn't include a site plan that displays other significant natural features. We talked about that some. There's a flood plan on Manape side of Lot 8, and there's the flood channel between Manape and the river that runs parallel to the Salmon River. That is 30 to 40 foot of that flood channel is within Lot 8, reducing the 100 foot. Okay, the floodplain I submitted earlier from Steve Henschke does not show that Lot 8 is within the flood channel. Therefore, the county stated that the applicant's property is not within the floodplain. I told Steve Henschke the floodplain maps were off by 35 feet, as the flood maps follow the exact boundaries of the tax lots and not the LIDAR maps. I raised that issue with Fletcher O'Brien and Jed Robert from Dalgami. They were the people who delineate the flood channel. And they told me the LIDAR maps are correct, but the county's overlay GIS maps can be off by 50 feet either way and has to be verified by field visit with a survey. As proof of my claim, the maps are off, I submitted a county GIS map or photo of the house at 68860 Manape that is adjacent to the applicant's property that shows the house in the middle of Manape. And then I also submitted new pictures of 68860 Manape taken from Manape. I was standing on Manape, and there were survey markers between me and the house where it delineated the right of way. And you can see by that map, you can see by those pictures, the house is several feet out of the right-of-way. So definitely the maps are wrong.
But a survey on the ground would show where the actual property lines are, but not necessarily.
Yes.
What are you driving at here?
Okay, what I'm showing is the maps, the GIS maps the county submitted, and I submitted, shows the house in the right of way. Then I also showed, that's why I went out and Mr. Cortez put survey marks, had a surveyor out there delineating the right of way. So I took a picture standing in the right of way, looking towards the house, and you can see the house is not in the right of way. So therefore the maps are off. That's what I'm trying to get across. And I also submitted photos of the property marker for the corner of Lot 8. And I took the pictures from that shows the property corner from Lot 8 and 7 and then 8 and 9. And it shows the flood channel with water in it. So that was another proof that this flood channel is within the FEMA maps.
Okay.
And the photo also shows the 12-foot cliff. I don't know, Melissa Ahrens, I'm sorry, if you had a chance to include that as exhibits yet.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, it's on the record.
Okay. Okay, without an accurate mapping of floodplain, it is impossible to determine the amount of developable land available for the house the size on lot 8 without building in a floodplain within the setbacks and within the native vegetation area. Okay. Then it goes, the site plan didn't include the location of utilities. His well, his septic tank, drain field, or I guess it did show the drain field. The applicant has installed a septic tank on lot 8 about 5 feet from the property corner with lot 9. The applicant hasn't identified the well, but some excavators told me he plans on drilling the well right on the edge of the 12-foot cliff. Again, the information could reduce the use of developable land.
Wait, okay. What do you mean?
Okay, it has to be, the house has to be so far from the septic tank. The house right. has to be so far from the well.
Right.
The well has to be so far from the septic tank. So.
Sure. But here the septic tank is pumped over to the drain field. So.
But there's a setback for a drain field and there's a setback sure. for a septic tank.
Right, right.
There are two different setbacks. Okay.
Sure.
And there's.
I just mean it takes up a lot less space that way.
Yeah, he's not showing where his well is going to be and how it relates to his septic tank that's already installed.
Okay.
Okay. I argue that the setback should be increased from 100 to 150 feet, as in ZDO 304A, rivers and stream setbacks, and to apply 70404A, 1 through 7 for the following reasons. I know what your argument is, but can I go through these? The riverside of lot 8 is...
I want to make sure that you spend, you know, your time on the appeal on things that are really going to be productive for you. I mean, if you're saying you're appealing the determination that by county council that they need to use the clear and objective standards provided by the Oregon Revised Statute passed by the state legislature, I'm not sure that's going to be the best use of, you know.
Okay.
I'll listen to some, or you can write to me.
I can write them and just send them to you, yeah, because otherwise I'm just taking up time. Okay. The county is, now I'm addressing the clear and objective standards. I want to make that sure clear. The county was required to amend its comprehensive plan and zoning ordinance as a result of ORS 197.3074 sure. for those areas where it requires to apply clear and objective standards. The county also has an obligation to comply with Goal 5 by adopting implementing measures to protect Goal 5 resources inventoried in the comprehensive plan from conflicting uses.
Okay.
Goal 5 implementing measures are required to be clear and objective. OAR 660-023-00502, subsection 2. Arguably, that means that the county's ZDO 304 that protects riparian provisions are out of date. If the county cannot apply the existing 704 setback requirements because they ran afoul of ORS 197-307, subsection 4, then Goal 5 would apply directly, and the county would need to conduct an ESEE analysis and develop clear and objective standards to protect Goal 5 for this particular case. We need to pretend that 704 doesn't even exist because it's out of date.
I think I get what you're saying, that if it's not clear and objective, fix it. There still remains the 100-foot enforced setback, so that it's not completely out the window. But I'll consider what you're saying about it. Yeah.
Okay. And for just the comprehensive plan has all, is it chapter 3? It has all kinds of policies. I mean, not all kinds. It has several policies that requires the inventories, rivers and stream corridors, be preserved. And what the county is saying, they're going to ignore all those policies and have an exemption to all those policies because of ORS 197. And I think that would violate goal five.
I hear your argument. I don't think it's completely gone, but you know, it's a 100-foot setback and it requires floodplain development permits for things that affect the floodplain. And I think there's still quite a structure here.
Well, right now, if you apply 704, there is a 100-foot setback.
Yes.
But if you don't apply 704 and just apply goal five, does it mean there's still going to be a 100-foot setback? Because okay. 704 won't even be applicable then. That's my argument.
Okay. I'll look at that.
Okay. That pretty well concludes it, but I would like to keep the record open for 7 days and I'll submit this and all the plan policies it violates.
I'll certainly honor your request, sir.
Okay.
I see that the other appellant is here. Did she have something to add, or did Mr. Tilka cover what the appellants want me to consider here? And Hi. Thank you for your participation. Nice to meet you.
Hi, I would like to say a few things.
Sure.
One is that I would like to say is that the septic tank is already installed in the ground and it is within 50 feet of our well. And I'm not sure what the status of that is.
You're okay. Hang on. Let me make a note. I did see a note about this somewhere because this is very familiar to me. So, installed within 50 feet of her well. Okay. Go ahead.
As I just wanted to know, what is the process on that to actually make sure it gets moved before he proceeds, since he put it in within the 50 feet in the beginning? Do you know what I mean?
Sure. I think your comment is really addressed to the county and to the applicant. Okay. Mr. Montgomery.
Okay, we're talking generalities here, and we're not producing plans showing what she's asking or saying. And so I would like to see a plan that shows where the septic tank is within your 50 feet of your well. Can you produce that?
Me personally?
Yes.
I can. You want me to take pictures?
No, I want a site plan that shows specifically. That's why we're having this hearing, is you're objecting. I'm trying to counteract as a building designer of structural components and acting on behalf of the owner. But you're saying that he put a septic tank in within 50 feet of your well. Can you produce a site plan or some type of record that confirms that? That's all I'm asking.
Can I say something?
Mr. Tilka, this is, I'll direct a question to you later. I'll provide you an opportunity. Mr. Montgomery, you're asking for the appellant to provide you a site plan about what?
Oh, no. If she's going to put this on record that the septic tank is within 50 feet of her site plan, then she needs to produce some type of documentation as part of her argument, showing that the septic tank is within that 50 feet of her well, and how it is incumbent on the county now to either put us into the land use case or the Principal River case. I mean, I could show up here and say, yeah, your gas tank is full, but it's half empty, right?
Right.
Okay. So if she's going to raise the issue, please present the documentation.
Let's stop there. I'll give you an opportunity to rebut, but let's let the appellant finish her argument.
So what would be needed for me to submit is a tape measure with a picture showing the distance, something like
that? I heard your argument, and let's proceed.
Okay.
You have another statement, or?
I do. One of the questions, and I don't know if you're going to say this is some other department, is we've already had two trees die and fall down on the property line from damage to the roots that have been done from the clearing. And I would like to know, moving forward, because the land has been cleared right up to the property lines. So moving forward, if trees come down usually it's the property owner that is responsible for those downed trees. But if they're damaged because of land use or just disturbance of the roots, how does that proceed?
That's, I think, outside of the scope of my hearing. I mean, I feel terrible about your trees and any damage that you've received there, but I don't have any way of, that's not within this hearing.
Okay. And then I would also like to know, and I don't know if this is appropriate here or not, the permits for his property. He has had, there's been a debris pile that has been on the land since April of 2021 from all of the trees that he has been down, that he's cleared. And it has been sitting there, and now there are two separate debris piles, and it is definitely, in my opinion, a fire concern for the neighborhood and the area. We are very close to the wilderness line, and obviously wildfires are top in everybody's mind these days, especially this time of year. So I would like to know, if it's possible, how the county goes about with the permitting. Do they continually give permits even if they're out of, I don't know what you'd call it, if they're supposed to have cleared the pile and they didn't, but the other permits on the property are not related to the pile to be cleared, do they just keep moving forward? Does that make sense?
I think I understand. And it isn't that I don't care about the fire damage. It's just that I'm looking at the criteria for this particular application and permit. And I understand your frustration with that answer, but that's all I have here in front of me and what I have to make a decision about.
Okay. And one other question I have is, I believe Mr. Montgomery said, or maybe it was Melissa, I can't remember, that the property setback for the front on Manape, I don't know how you pronounce this.
I've heard it myself.
Yeah, but the front of the property is a 20-foot setback. And I'd like to know, what does that leave then, if Mr. Montgomery could possibly answer, what is the buildable space left before the cliff, according to their drawings? Does that make sense? Because going from Manape towards the river, there's the big drop off, the 12-foot cliff.
Yep. I see his site development overview, and it shows, it's just so small.
Roughly 61 feet.
Okay.
And does the county have any, as far as the...
And what I see, Ms. McAvoy, is that 61 feet includes some portion that is lined up roughly directly 20 feet back from the platted road of Manape that's not improved at all. It pretty much doesn't visually exist, I think. And a portion is it looks like it's about 2/3 of the way back to the that 100-foot setback. So that's a thumbnail sketch.
Okay. And then just to be clear, the right of way, so I live at 68860. So I think that is lot 9, side of 8. The west side, I think, is what it was referred to as. Just to be clear, that right-of-way has been completed. He just did that. I don't know if he had the permits for it, but it was done within the last couple of weeks.
I believe I saw a permit for that. And so it is graveled all the way to the east end of his property line, or at least to his driveway section, whatever.
It's to his giant debris pile that is yet
to the giant debris pile. Okay. But that's in front of lot 8.
Correct.
Okay. So let me make a note. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. That's all.
Okay. And thank you. I'd like to provide the applicant an opportunity to present testimony and evidence and including rebuttal that the applicant wants me to consider.
Okay, you also have one of my associates in the public arena, Edgar Diaz, who will also speak if he can, please. So you want me to start?
Yes.
Okay, so I was contracted by Vince Cortese to draw him a set of plans and to help him facilitate the necessary permits to develop these the lot 8 and develop the lots across the way, which have the septic tank and the leach field on top of it. As far as I'm going to talk, Mrs. McCoy, as far as the debris and all that stuff, I can't speak to that. I'm sure that Mr. Cortese will take care of that problem right after this. I see your head shaking, and I understand that you and the other gentlemen have had mixed words between each other that I'm not privy to, other than third-hand knowledge. So shake your head, don't shake your head, that's fine. So Mr. Cortese asked me to help him with the permit process, going through the building process, which has been signed off, going through the septic, which is waiting approval from land use. Right now, we're at a point where the building permit could be issued if we could get this land and the septic approval within the next couple of days. So as far as that, that's my background, my profession. I have been out to the site. The vegetation that everybody is talking about, there was some trees that were taken down. There was some vegetation that was taken down, but the vegetation is all within the building footprint of where this new building is going to go. The driveway access and the road coming in, which we were approved for a driveway entrance through the county, and we were also approved with the Fire Bureau through Clackamas County to put this road in and get it going to the house. Those permits are on record. But as far as the other vegetation and everything that they're speaking of, I haven't been up there for 6 months. I'm not sure about where the cliff is. I don't even know. We weren't required to put a topographic site plan together showing where all these cliffs or possible cliffs could be. Right. We were never asked to do a soils report to establish what type of soil we're working with. Is it landslide hazard area or anything? All along, we've met the criteria of developing this lot and meeting all the current setbacks that everybody is asking for. As you can, like meeting the 128 feet setback and placing the house where the house is going, we're meeting planning and zoning's current setbacks. And I don't think we're out of line of doing this. 3 years ago, I did another house down Manapee more towards the west, and we didn't have any problems at all with meeting the current setbacks or waterways or flood. So that's pretty much how I'm involved on this process. But again, I know that Vince has had mixed words with both of the appeals, and I can't, you know, it's sad.
Keep the neighbor dispute about
that. It's sad. I mean, I know he's been blocked out from using a portion of Manapee that goes right past his property. I know he has had the sheriff out there with a code violation on blockage of the driveway, and it all escalated from that point forward. I mean, all this gentleman wants to do is to use his land as everybody else in this community is using their land, develop a house that he can move into and live in and go on peacefully. You know, at this point, I'm not even sure what's going to happen, but I'm not hearing anything objecting code-wise to deny us from going forward. I'm just hearing everybody complaining why they don't want another neighbor in the neighborhood. When I did first go out there and do a site visit and everything, there was picnic tables. There was a badminton court, all on Mr. Cortese's property. Once he started developing and marking out his points of view, everything got removed. So it's kind of been that this property has been somebody else's communal development. Mr. Cortese just wants to move forward and live his life and develop the house the way the code says he can do it. and the way he can go on forward.
Can I ask you a question, Mr. Montgomery?
Sure.
I would like to know what, where does your, on your site plan, where does the back of the house fit in that lot in relevance to the drop-off? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can we put that site plan up, Alyssa, that we have?
Sure.
Because you said it has.
Do you have this site plan in a bigger scale?
I think it may be more helpful to show on plan map, our internal planning, because we have the contours on there.
Okay, so if you go off of the front property line, we're roughly 60 to 61 feet from that point. That's a 20-foot driveway and the end of the house. Now, there was no topographic requirement showing that Dennis is asking where this drop-off cliff is. And if Dennis is going to project that information into this, then Dennis needs to provide us where exactly he thinks this is on a site plan and have some type of survey showing what his information that he's giving is accurate to true. Does that make sense?
Mike, I think we're losing the forest for the trees here. Anyways, this hearing is about the Principal Rivers Conservation decision that the planning came up with. And a lot of the objections that are being presented are actually better addressed with the permits that we've already received, the inspections that the county has already undertaken, plus the inspections that we're going to ask them to undertake. The location of the house, while we have a site plan on a flat piece of paper representing a curved environment that's going to be subject to inaccuracies because of the nature of the distortion of mapping, might have some distortions. We are going to actually stake out the location of the house and have verifiable proof through a surveyor of the location of the house, the setbacks are being met. These are criteria that are actually going to be addressed with the other permits that we cannot obtain, right? Because this decision permit.
You're talking about even getting approval for the footprint of your foundation.
Well, and the septic system too. I mean, a lot of these questions are construction related questions that we cannot even address because we're not allowed to get these permits while these things are on appeal, while there's obstruction going on. We can't even access the property to, get the assessors out there, to get the arborists, the landscapers, people who want to argue that they want a inventory. Even if we were required to do that, which we are not, and I've already explained to Mr. Tilka at length about the actual environmental obligations on this development, including the 100-foot buffer, the fact that we're not actually going below the escarpment, which he calls a cliff. And we are discussing with Melissa their requirements now to delineate exactly where the floodway is, the floodplain, sorry. Our original plan was actually to punch Manapi through. Then we found out that we need to provide additional information because of the floodplain. So we put a stop to that plan. What we have done is simply provided it's roughly 12 feet into, actually it might be closer to 20 feet, into Mr. Cortese's property, fronting lot 8, so that the well driller can actually come in from the west and enter the property and go over to the well location. Okay, something that we're not actually, starting yet, but that was part of the reason for the entry permit. We are simply trying to get a flat gravel access so we can start cleaning up the property and start preparations. None of this thing is happening without permits. If we find out that there's an additional permit review required, such as what Melissa mentioned with respect to, a potential floodplain development review, we are in fact endeavoring to do that and have drastically modified our plans to avoid any unintended violations. I've asked Mr. Tilka repeatedly that if he feels that there's an actual code violation happening, that he contact the code department. I understand from his past dealings with their office that he actually has their contact information. So to date, he has been instrumental in the obstruction of the project, but hasn't actually provided any significant proof that the project should be delayed. One of the delay tactics that he did was not telling us the exact location of his well, not allowing me to enter the property to measure the distance until after we had already started the construction of the septic system under the original permit. Same thing with Ms. McAvoy. We weren't told exactly where the well was. we weren't allowed access onto her property until after we had done the installation. So these informations about setbacks come in after we've already committed resources, after we've already spent, you know, thousands of dollars on materials and parts. And you know what we did? We did a plan review, revision, sorry. We conducted elevations. We took a surveyor back out there. Surveyor has been out, licensed surveyor has been out there 4 or 5 times. And I emphasize license because Mr. Toka wanted me to take an unlicensed surveyor's report and I refused. If it's something that is certified and contradicts our certified professional, I'd be more than happy to. We can get a third party to provide a tie-breaking vote. That hasn't happened. So at this point, you know, there's really no environmental hazard that we haven't tried to.
Let me recap, Mr. Diaz. So what I understand you to say is that you did place the septic. You're asserting that it was because you didn't know and weren't able to verify locations of the nearby wells by nearby property owners. But after you're saying that after you placed the septic, you found those. Have you moved the septic?
For the septic tank, that hasn't been moved. But at the same time, it's not in violation because none of this system is actually permitted for use.
Okay. So you've got a hole with a tank in it, but you don't have it hooked up for septic. So you're saying you'll leave it there.
What I have is material on site for a septic system in various states of interment, but it's not actually what would be considered a functional septic tank. I don't have a inspection report from the inspector giving me permission to use the tank. It's really a non-issue. As with respect to the buffers to the rivers and everything else, we're not proposing to do any development within that 100 feet. Whether where the property line is clearly marked out by the surveyor on site.
Understood.
But there's no proposal to do any work within 100 feet. So there is no reason for an inventory, which is something I've also told Mr. Tilka many times when I've met at the property. As far as the development within the 50-foot setback, our instructions were, as we were going through this application, as Mr. Montgomery relayed to me, we needed to come up with a revegetation plan. So I gave him a list of native species that's available through Boscadale Nurseries that we could plant to improve the habitat. I've also spoken to Mr. Cortese and suggested that we actually implement some of these plants around the rest of the property, not just limited to lot 8, to improve the habitat altogether, because believe it or not, part of the appeal for this site is the natural beauty, the natural wonder, and he wants to preserve that. So with respect to the debris, it's a woody forested material. It's not anything that would be considered fill. We're not allowed to do a lot of work with that pile because the fire marshal told us that a machinery working on that pile could actually spark a fire and be counterproductive. So we're actually waiting until we have an opportunity to start working on that pile, the woody debris pile.
I would just like to note that woody debris pile that you speak of, you're not allowed to work on, has been there since April 2021. So we had a full winter and spring with plenty of wet season there.
And I would like to point out that Mr. Tilka has been blocking.
I'm not going to let this turn into just an argument. Okay, I understand there's disagreement here. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Mr. Montgomery, is that what the applicant wants me to consider? You're muted.
Yeah. Yes, he's going to do everything that we've talked about and what Edgar has talked about on this. We got to keep this thing going forward. We're now paying interest on loans that we're being blocked from using. And as we talk right now, and I just checked the stock market, lumber prices are not coming down, people.
Sure.
So right now, our lumber price is almost increased by 25% by all of this blockage and appeal. And I don't know you guys aren't in the construction industry. So to you, that's not dollars coming out of your pockets. To Mr. Cortese and Mr. Edgar, Mr. Diaz knows this. Every day we sit, we're paying interest and we're paying cost of loss.
I understand there's a sense of.
Yes. Yeah, so Mr. Cortese will do whatever he can do to ease the situation and just get this house built.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yeah.
I don't want to open it up to additional rebuttals. I know that there's a lot of disagreement here.
It's a question.
Ms. McAvoy, what's your comment?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to know, am I supposed to submit some sort of proof that the well is within his septic tank?
You're not required to do so. When Mr. Montgomery or Mr. Diaz, on behalf of the applicant, cite their septic, it'll have to be cited correctly to engineering stand septic. What is the word? It's environmental quality septic department. I something like that. I've dealt with it many times, but it'll be a permit to their approval.
We've got a new septic system design that has been approved. Yeah. The permit has been issued. The location of the tank is well over 60 feet away from Mrs. McAvoy's tank.
Let me move forward here. So there was a request to keep the record open. So I will keep it open for a minimum of 7 days for that submittal. And Ms. McAvoy, if you want to submit something, you may submit it in writing to Ms. Aaron's address, or as she stated for the submission. Yes, Mr. Tilka, you may do so as well. Does the applicant want an opportunity to also review and submit materials to the record?
I don't know what material we're going to be required to do yet, because the hearing is open for the next 7 days. I mean, to be honest with you,
just
for the next
record.
7 days, I don't know what material is going to be coming in.
Right. Okay. So
now, can I ask one more question though?
Of course.
If Mr. Diaz is correct that we can't get access to the property to verify where this well is, how are we going to get the information from her that shows us exactly where her well is?
We know where all the wells are at now, Mike. Sorry,
you got them all lined out. Okay. Yes. All right. Then I'll stop there.
That's what I heard. Okay. Yeah. So
the surveyor actually marked out the 100-foot setback and the 50-foot setbacks.
Okay.
Like I said, we're very careful with
you guys. Take that offline, please. What I have is a request for 1 week for the record to stay open for additional materials. Now, what I would do would be provide, if you would like, as the applicant, you may have an additional, you may have that same 7-day period to submit materials to the record. But then I would ask that I would keep the record open for an additional 7 days for review and response to that. So there would be a total of up to 21 days here. So 7 days for everyone to submit things to the record, 7 days for everyone to disagree and rebut to your, you know, to your, to the opposition, if you will. And then I would give the applicant a last word of 7 days if you want. I don't have to keep it open for that last word. You can just waive that.
Okay. I think that's fair. What I would ask, since I've been in other hearings before, that if we're going to submit new documentation, it'd be specific to the code.
Oh, specific to the approval criteria,
exactly.
or it won't be relevant.
Okay, exactly. Now,
right.
My next question is going to be, I don't want these people waiting until the 11th hour to submit that information, and I not have applicable time to review it unless you're adding the next 7 days for my review and the rebuttal. Is that how we're going to look at it?
So this is how, what I'm saying, let me go over it.
Okay.
It is confusing.
Yeah.
And I understand. So everyone, 7 days to submit anything new that hasn't been already introduced at the hearing. Okay.
Okay.
So anything at all relevant to the approval criterion. All right. Then everyone gets the next 7 days to review those new materials. And we're talking opinions and legal arguments, not new stuff, opinions, legal arguments, pointing out why something shouldn't be considered or is wrong. Okay. Then you get the last word for that's 21 days, unless you waive that last word period.
Okay.
I know time is of the essence for you here. It's up to you.
I'm so not- If I waive it within the second 7-day period, you could render a decision.
You don't have to make a decision now. Okay. I would accept a letter saying I waive my last.
Okay. But I mean, you could render your decision within a period of days or so.
I'm not that fast.
But I mean, I'll do my best. We could have it within 15, 16 days of this time period. Is that correct?
It would be a minimum of 14 days before I even close the record to even look at this.
Okay, because so now
I won't have it done in 15 days. No.
Okay, because I'm looking at a time period for my permit can only stay open for a certain amount of time before they deem it invalid. And then I'd have to start all over again, paying all the new fees, submitting new plans. So I'm going to check with the county and see when my period of time is coming up.
Is that August 27th, Ms. Ahrens?
Correct. It's August 27th is the 150th day.
Yeah.
So that's the last day a decision can be issued.
So if you do 7 today, that puts us out to the 11th, 12th, and you do another 7. Yeah, we're already past the 150 now.
No, we're not. That's 11 plus 7 is 18.
18 plus another 7.
No, we just added 7 twice.
Okay. All right. So the 21. So that means between the 21st and the 28th, you need to render a decision for us to see if we can keep going forward. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Ms. Ahrens, can the applicant waive that 150-day time period or extend it?
The applicant can request to toll the clock, but it would have to be it could be verbally in this hearing, which is recorded and would be on the record, or in an email, and they would have to
specific amount of time. Could he say 2 weeks?
He could say, I want the clock stopped on this date. I want it started on this date for a total amount of days.
Okay.
And that would.
So, thank you. I just don't want you to feel pressured, Mr. Montgomery, about having your last word.
Okay. Can I, one more thing. Edgar, are you still on? Are you muted or there?
I'm unmuted now.
Okay. Are you agreeable with this so that we could go to events on this?
I was going to mention that we can actually stop the clock at any time. So there's really no reason why we can't actually ask them to stop right now.
Okay.
It's not going to hurt us in any way, shape or form. And it might actually take some of the anxiety off of all of this. The appellants, they have rights under this process, just as we do. Of course, they also have obligations. They have to turn in information that is actually specific to the code sections of this. I don't actually think we need to provide any additional information. We went through a very extensive scrutiny over the last 100 days of this plan review. The planning department is satisfied that we've met our burden of proof that we are meeting the conditions for this principal rivers conservation. So at this point, we can just waive. I feel we can actually waive our rebuttal time. We don't actually need to do it right now, Mike. We can wait to see what Mr. Tilka and Ms. McAvoy come up with. But I definitely think we need to put a stop on the clock for the planning, the 150.
Okay.
Right now. So
okay. And how the applicant, what are we talking about for time, Mr. Diaz?
What was that?
Like something specific.
Yeah, we would need a start stop date and number of days you want the clock.
Well, so why don't we stop right now and we'll pick it up in 14 days.
Okay, so 14-day extension on the timeline. I think that's appropriate. That way, because the appellant should have an opportunity to submit additional things to the record. So I'm going to keep the record open for them regardless.
That's fine.
Sorry, for the record, can you confirm the exact date that you want the clock to start again? We need you to hear the date.
Absolutely. So we would be requesting a stop today on August 4th, 2022. Mm-hmm. And we would be expecting the clock to restart on August 18th, 2022.
August 18th? Thanks. Is that 14 days? Yes.
Unless I did the math.
Yes. Right. Well, 14 business days or 14 days?
All right. All right. Anything further from the county on this?
I have a couple quick responses just to questions that came up, if that's okay. I know it's been a long day of hearing, so I'll try to be brief. Regarding the retaining wall construction, the drop off, the kind of ledge that seems to be on the property. We're not approving any type of retaining wall in this application. It has not been proposed. There are not steep slopes shown on the property. Now, the county only regulates slopes starting at 20%. We do regulate the Bulletin 99 geologic hazard maps, but the Bulletin 99 maps aren't effective up on the mountain. So per our code, we are not able to use those to require a steep slope land use review. So that wasn't looked at as part of this application. The topography there, I'm just guessing it probably shows 5-10% slope. So it's not a situation where we would require a separate steep slope land use application per our current code. And of course, that's separate from any of the legal consistency criteria for this application. Just noting that for the record. There was a violation case opened on the property for vegetation clearance. That is violation case V0025721. It's our understanding that's per code enforcement, that's still pending. It has not been closed out. I don't know the status of that. Certainly as part of this application, we are not approving any kind of vegetation removal or tree removal outside of what's proposed. So anything within that 100-foot area. So if that's where vegetation removal actually did occur per the violation, they would have to be required to restore that, but that would be outside of the scope of what we're looking at today. So just wanted to make that clear. If enforcement does find that that did occur, there's a separate track to rectify that, essentially. The septic question, I think you addressed, it is a separate permit. Our septic staff are the ones who determine whether or not it's consistent and issue the permit outside of the scope of the legal consistency review for this application. The floodplain mapping, Steve Hinchcliffe has spent a lot of time on GIS, providing his expertise and how the floodplain maps relate to the site plan. I showed his kind of diagram he did as part of the PowerPoint. It'll be on the record. From our understanding, that is the legal limit of the floodplain.
Ms. Ahrens, I dropped temporarily.
I'm sorry.
It's not your fault. It's technical. You know, it's the joys of occasion.
Yeah.
You were talking about not approving any retaining wall in this process, this application. There's no geologic hazard maps, and that's where I am off the radar.
Yeah, the steep slope geologic hazard, there's no regulations applicable for the Mount Hood area where the property is that would get us to requiring steep slope review is really the summary. Okay. And of course, that's separate from what we're looking at for the legal standard review for this application.
Okay.
There is an open violation. It says open. That's all I can see. I can't see the details of it because I'm not in code enforcement. I don't know the status of it. It is for some type of vegetation tree removal on the property. That's just the description I'm reading. I don't know any more than that. This application is not approving vegetation or tree removal in that buffer area. If that did occur, it would be restored and rectified through the enforcement case.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to make that clear. There's two separate things. We're certainly not in this approving tons of vegetation clearance and grading adjacent to the river there.
Okay.
The application of the comprehensive plan, the way that our regulations are set up, the comprehensive plan sets up the land use policies for compliance with statewide planning goals, and then the zoning and development ordinance implements those. So we don't typically apply... the way this it's legally structured is the comp plan policies that Dennis was referencing wouldn't directly apply as a legal standard of review for this PERCA application. Certainly, they are a legal standard of review when we are amending the text of our zoning and development ordinance. There are also certain situations where comp plan policies directly apply to land use applications. There's a rural wetlands policy that would apply if we're looking at zone changes. For this application, there is no tie there where there's a comp plan policy that's a legal standard of review. So it's not included in the findings in the decision. Now, how that plays out in the context of clear and objective standards being applied and ORS, that's much more legally complicated than we have discussed in the findings. So we won't comment on that here.
Okay.
Can I say something?
That's my comments. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes. I just want to make sure you're leaving the record 7 days open for anyone to submit new information.
Yes.
You're leaving the record open for anyone to comment on any of those new submittals?
For an additional 7 days. So really it's 14 days from today at 4 p.m. on that date. So 4 p.m. on August 18th.
Wait a minute. He's asking anybody. That means he could bring in friends of the trees. He could bring in thousands of the people of the thousand of the gorge.
Right.
We need to be more specific as to how we're going to leave this open.
I'm saying participants at this hearing.
Okay.
Anyone at this hearing.
Okay.
That's what it's for. Okay. So then what happens if they send, after the 7 days I submit something, they send in something 7 days within that period that I disagree with, that I should be able to get make a comment about what their objection to my submittal was?
No, I'm not going to do a rebuttal to the rebuttal.
Yeah, that's what I wanted, a rebuttal
right.
to rebuttal.
No, it's going to be everyone here at the hearing, all you participants may submit written comments, written evidence, a site plan, if you will, whatever it is.
That's fair.
The opposing side gets to review it and respond to it. And that's it. 7 days for that at 4 p.m. So everything has to be submitted by, it looks like August 11th at 4 p.m. Yes, Mr. Montgomery.
Okay. So, Edgar, I want you to hear this, please. The appellate people that are opposing us do not have legal access to go onto our property.
Correct.
At all.
Right.
That means, Ms. Dennis, you cannot go onto this piece of property and try to figure out where this cliff is at and let me finish.
No. Okay.
Let me finish. You got to be clear and precise on where you're getting your documentation from. But right now, you are on notice. You are not to step on any of the lots.
That's outside of it here. Okay. You can
trespass. No, it has to be on record because he does things in the middle of the road, parking cars, parking boats, obstructing everybody.
Melissa, can I ask Melissa something?
Give me the mic and let's cut this down.
Well, wait a second. Just one more question.
I did issue the order. Everyone gets till 4 p.m. on August 11th. To submit their new materials in writing to the record. Everyone here gets till 4 p.m. on August 18th to submit rebuttals and disagreements to the things that you want. I will consider it all after the record closes, which is August 18th at 4 p.m. That's pretty clear, I think.
So are they required?
And I understand that there's disagreements between the parties here, but I'm not going to be involved in a neighbor dispute about trespassing.
This wasn't a neighbor thing. It was a submittal requirement. Are they responsible to submit a contour map of the property?
Like, I didn't require anything.
No, the application submittal requirements.
The application submittal requirements are stated in the criteria published in the staff report. And I'm not enlarging those requirements. Now,
I'm not either. I'm just saying
requirements on the floodplain development permit if that is ultimately required. All right. I think I answered all the questions about this. Everyone? Okay. Thank you all for participating. And I'll look to receive additional materials and I'll review them. Well, I probably won't review them until August 18th after 4 p.m. when the record here closes. And I'll just restate for the record again that I understand that the applicant has asked a 14-day tolling of the record from August 4th to August 18th. And the applicant has waived a final last word period of 7 days with respect to any final last word rebuttal of the rebuttal, because that's it. Okay. Thank you all for participating. It was very nice to meet each of you. And I will issue my written decision as soon as possible after the record closes August 18th at 4 p.m. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.